ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter number 10, Text number 11. This chapter is entitled as Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions.
Tasvavasit susrishtaso sahasram parivatsara tena narayano namo
Tasu, in that,
avatsit,
resided,
swa,
own, srishtasu, in the matter of creation, sahasram, 1000, parivatsara, years of his measurement,
Tena,
for that reason,
Narayana,
the personality of Godhead, named Narayan,
Nama,
name,
Yat,
because,
Apaha,
water,
Purushodbhavaha,
emanated from the Supreme Person. Translation. That Supreme Person is not impersonal and therefore is distinctive anara or person. Therefore the transcendental water created from the Supreme Nara is known as Nar. And because he lies down on that water, he is known as Narayan. Next verse, since this doesn't have a purport. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. द्रव्यं कर्मच कालश्च स्वभावो जीव एवच यद अनुग्रहतः संति न संति यद उपेक्षया। वन शुड डेफिनेटली नो दैट ऑल मटेरियल इंग्रेडिएंट्स एक्टिविटीज टाइम एंड मोड्स एंड ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज हु आर मेंट टू एंजॉय देम ऑल एग्जिस्ट बाय हिज मर्सी ओनली एंड एज सून एज ही डज नॉट केयर फॉर देम एवरीथिंग बिकम्स नॉन एग्जिस्टेंट परपोर्ट. The living entities are the enjoyers of the material ingredients, time, modes, etc., because they want to lord it over the material nature. The Lord is the supreme enjoyer, and the living entities are meant to assist the Lord in his enjoyment, and thus participate in the transcendental enjoyment of everyone. The enjoyer and the enjoyed both participate in enjoyment, but deluded by the illusory energy, the living entities want to become the enjoyer like the Lord, although they are not meant for such enjoyment. The jivas, the living entities, are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as the Lord's superior nature or para prakriti. And so also it is mentioned in the Vishnu Puran. Therefore the living entities are never the purushas or the factual enjoyer. As such, the spirit of enjoyment by the living entity in the material world is false. In the spiritual world, the living entities are pure in nature and therefore they are associates in the enjoyment of the Supreme Lord. In the material world, the spirit of enjoyment of the living entity by dint of their own actions, karma, gradually fades by the laws of nature. And thus the illusory entities dictate in the ears of the conditioned soul that they should become one with the Lord. This is the last snare of illusory energy. When the last illusion is also cleared of by the mercy of the Lord, the living entity again becomes reinstated in the original position and thus becomes actually liberated. For this attainment of liberation from the material clutches, the Lord creates the material world, maintains it for some time, 1000 years of his measurement as stated in the previous verse, and then again annihilates it by his will. The living entities are therefore completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord, and all their so-called enjoyment by scientific improvement are crushed into dust when the Lord desires. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. That Supreme Person is not impersonal and therefore is distinctly Nara, a person. Therefore the transcendental water created by the Supreme Nara is known as Nara. And because he lies down on the water, he is known as Narayan. One should definitely know that all the material ingredients, activities, time and mode, and the living entities who are meant to enjoy them all, exist by his mere mercy only. And as soon as he does not care for them, everything becomes non-existent. Hare Krishna. So the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in great detail discusses about the creation as desired by Parikshit Maharaj. How Bhagavatam proceeds so beautifully. In the first canto, we read all the background about Parikshit Maharaj, how he was born, then eventually how he was cursed, desired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but accepted his own fault. One of the very interesting fact in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives different perception. You know, our acharyas explained that Parikshit Maharaj's curse was, it was not his fault. It was meant to happen because it was the desire of the Lord. Unless Parikshit was placed in that situation, how would be Bhagavatam spoken? So it was Krishna's arrangement. But if you ask Parikshit Maharaj, he doesn't say, no, Krishna, you know, cursed me, therefore Bhagavatam was spoken. That defeats the very purpose of a devotee's good heart. From Parikshit's perspective, it was his own fault. It was his own mistake. And therefore in the Bhagavatam 10th canto explains, he gives assurance to Sukadeva Goswami saying that, my dear Lord, he said, please do not make the pastimes of the Lord, the narration of Krishna's pastime in concise form. Go on speaking in detail because you may think that I am thirsty, hungry and sleepy. He said, I am not. So as a student, he is giving that assurance to his teacher that I am willing to hear as long as you speak. And go on speaking as much as you can speak. So there is a perspective of Parikshit Maharaj also. That also has to be seen. Similarly as Prabhupada quotes in the Nectar of Instruction in regards to Hanumanji's anger and Arjuna's anger. He says they use their anger in the service of the Lord. But if you ask them only, they say anger is not good. Hanumanji, after burning Lanka, then he realized, what did I do? In my anger towards Ravan, I burnt Lanka. And I am so foolish, the very purpose I came here to give life to Lord Ram, in the form of speaking about Mother Sita, I must have burned her also. So pages after pages, Hanumanji condemns the quality of anger. Then he again thinks, you know, Are, I am thinking of burning Mother Sita, but the very fire was burning everybody else except me. Must have happened only because of Mother Sita's mercy. Then he goes back to reconfirm his understanding. And lo and behold, what does he see? Mother Sita is happily there in, not happily, no, she is there in Ashoka Vatika. So therefore, we see this is the beauty of Bhagavatam. That we cannot quote one person saying, oh, this is the reality. Because reality is not black and white. Reality is based upon different beautiful perception. In the Bhagavatam you also see, in the 7th canto, Narad Muni is absorbed in speaking the narrations of Lord Narsingdev's appearance. And as he starts speaking about Lord Narsingdev's coming from the pillar, and what does he say? Now he is narrating the pastime, but he immediately talks about, he said, Satyam Vidhatum Nijabhritya Bhashitam. He said, just to make the words of his pure devotee come true, Lord Narasimha appeared from the pillar. So Narad Muni is giving the cause why did Lord Narasimha appear. And what is the cause according to Narad Muni? The cause for Lord Narasimha's appearance is because Prahlad just few moments before he told Hiranyakashipu, when Hiranyakashipu asked him, where is your God? He wanted to kill his God, Prahlad's God first to make him feel that now you are a hopeless case. If your God is killed, who will protect you? Then he wanted to kill Prahlad Maharaj. And he said, where is he? And Prahlad had just spoken few minutes before, saying that, you know, that the Lord is everywhere. Where is he not? He is everywhere. Then he said, he's in this pillar. He said, of course, he's there in this pillar. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that Lord Narasimha was appeared in the pillar and is telling, tell him I'm there. No? So Prahlad, of course, he didn't Lord to be there to tell that Lord is there, but Lord is always, you know, he partners with his devotee. So then Prahlad said, yes, he's there in this pillar also. So to make those words come true, according to Narad Muni, Lord appeared from that pillar. Not that he had to come from the pillar to kill Hiranyakashipu. He is there also inside the heart of Hiranyakashipu. He could have killed Hiranyakashipu by so many other means. But he chose to do it because it was Prahlad's, you know, to fulfill the words. Satyam Vidatum. But if you ask Prahlad in his prayers to Lord Narasimha, what does Prahlad say? Prahlad doesn't say, you know, Lord appeared because, you know, I stayed, you know, he's in the pillar. So therefore this historical reality, the factual reality is not factual from the perspective of Bhagavatam. Factuality is a reality based upon the perception of a devotee, a pure devotee. Both are true. And Prahlad Maharaj gives all the credit to Narad Muni for the appearance of Lord Narasimha. How does he remembers when Lord Narasimha, you know, when Kayadu was almost kidnapped by Brahma, demigods, you know, wanted to kill Prahlad, thinking, you know, already one demon we are suffering so much. You know, and then his son is going to come, must be greater demon than his father. So they are waiting for Prahlad to be born so that they can kill him. And Narad Muni said, he said, Indra, you cannot do that. There is a great Mahabhagavat in the womb of this lady. So therefore, don't worry. So just because Narad Muni said that, to make Narad Muni's words come true, you know, was Prahlad the devotee before Narad Muni said, you know, or not? But here, at least, according to Prahlad Maharaj, it was only because Narad Muni's words, he spoke everything, Lord Narasimha, Lord will come and will cause punishment to Hiranyakashipu. So you see here, Narad Muni is getting all the credit by Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad is getting all the credit by Narad Muni. So one may say, but what is the reality? This is the reality. The reality is that a devotee speaks from different perspective. Just like we see Srila Prabhupada, he did not take the credit for his success. He gave the credit to his devotees. Is it the reality? Yes, from Prabhupada's point of view, that is the reality. And if devotees go and say, you know what Prabhupada said, we are responsible for his success. That is devotee stupidity. Why? Because, you know, that is a reality, no doubt. But is there another reality, a reality from a devotee's perspective? That unless he gave us the mercy to do something, how was it possible having such a background? Not possible to do anything. So in this way, we see Krishna consciousness become very dynamic and very, very blissful. Otherwise, one becomes stuck in the technicalities of Shastra. No, or this says this one, that says this one. Including the living entities fall in this world. Including the whole concept of, you know, law of karma. All these things. So therefore here, Narad Muni raised this question, the entire discussion of Parikshit Maharaj with Shukadeva Goswami. No. How does Parikshit Maharaj say? So beautiful, when Narad Muni, when Shukadeva Goswami came to his place, he says that only because I'm connected to the Pandavas, only because I'm connected to the Pandavas, you know, those who have received the favor of these great souls, Pandavas. And because of that, you all have come here. It is not because of my qualification. But the very Bhagavatam says, Parikshit Maharaj himself was a great devotee. He didn't need Pandavas to be great devotees, in one sense. But you would ask Parikshit, he does not take any credit for his devotional service. All credit he gives to his grandfather, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjun, Bhim, Nakul, Sahadev, and the great grandmother Draupadi, and the grand grandmother Kunti Maharani. He does not find any valuable things in him. And he's asking these beautiful questions to Sukadeva Goswami. He said, you are such a wonderful soul. You don't even stay in anybody's house as long as, you know, milking of the cows. You don't have anything to do with them. But you have come here. But why did Sukadeva Goswami come? Sukadeva Goswami was fascinated by Parikshit Maharaj's quality. And Parikshit did not say, you know, good, you have come here, understanding my qualities. Because in the Vedic psychology, in Vedic culture, you know, humility is not a thought about. You don't focus on being humble. The very culture makes you humble. So it is not that Parikshit Maharaj has to put all the thoughts together, how should I present myself? It is but natural for him. And it is very natural for Sukadeva Goswami also. So he knows the greatness of Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj knows the greatness of Sukadeva Goswami. And when such two people come together, you know, Parikshit Maharaj takes the role of asking questions. And Sukadeva Goswami takes the role of answering the questions. But Parikshit Maharaj's questions are as illuminating as the answers of Sukadeva Goswami. Because without such questions, you know, the right answers cannot come. I remember in Bombay, you know, some very close to our temple, Prabhupada had a program and he went to one big industrialist's house. One of the first time he got to meet and talk to some big industrialist. So there was a lecture. After the lecture was over, he asked for a question. And nobody asked the question. So in the car, his disciple asked him, Prabhupada, how did you like the program? He said, no good. Because nobody was asking any questions. If the audience is not matching up to the, you know, talk given by a great personality, then he is not encouraged. I think one time again in America, somebody, you know, he was asking, ask questions. And nobody was asking question. One student asked the question. He said, Prabhupada, what is the relationship of Balram with Radharani? He said, you rascal. That question was not itself very... It was not a question. It was a stupidity. So therefore he got chastisement. So therefore here Parikshit Maharaj is asking question to Sukadeva Goswami. His question itself is so illuminating. Asking so relevant questions. So therefore, in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, after inquiring from Sukadeva Goswami about, you know, what one should do, especially when he is about to face death, what are his duties? Now, does Parikshit Maharaj not know about this? His entire life, it is not that he is going to practice devotional service just now. In fact, he began his life being in the womb of his mother when that heinous Ashwatthama, you know, being a Brahmana also, he became so cruel. He wanted to eliminate the entire Pandavas race so that the Pandavas do not exist. Even Duryodhana did not appreciate that. He said, come on, what did you do? You know, you killed our own, you killed all the Pandavas' children. He was not appreciative of it. But he did not stop there. When he released his Brahmastra, he could not withdraw the Brahmastra. Then Vyasadeva said, he said, withdraw it. He said, I don't know how to withdraw. I said, why the hell you released it then? You don't know how to withdraw. Why did you release it? He said, direct it to some other place, because Arjuna withdrew his Brahmastra. And this Ashwatthama, he said, let that Brahmastra go into the womb of Uttarava. So the last hair of the Pandava should be destroyed. And actually, you know, the Brahmastra actually killed Parikshit Maharaj in the womb of his mother. And Krishna said, I will show my power to you. Krishna can say that. That I can show my power to you. So entered inside the womb of Uttara, revived the baby, gave darshan to Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj fascinated to something, you know, he became Angushta Matra Mamalam. Bhagavatam explains that the Lord's form, which Parikshit Maharaj saw, was as big as this thumb, but in his complete feature. So here Parikshit Maharaj got to see Krishna right inside the womb. How Krishna, you know, he comes from the womb, in the womb of Devaki, just to play a human role. And then he also enters into the womb of some other devotee to save Parikshit Maharaj. And therefore Parikshit Maharaj became Parikshit, who is always looking, observing, where is that Krishna? The acharyas explain that whenever he would come around the palace and he would crawl and he would pull the dhoti, if there was a yellowish dhoti, and look like this, who is this? Oh, this is not Krishna. So very beginning he was in the mood of the Goswamis. He Radhe, he Raja Devi ke. You know, going everywhere and looking, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? So that is Parikshit Maharaj. From his very early childhood, he grew up being Krishna conscious. He knew how to keep Krishna in the center. That was not a big deal for him, because it was natural. But that very Parikshit Maharaj asking this question, my dear Sukadeva Goswami, what do I do at the time of death, especially when somebody is dying? So that is how a devotee feels, that I don't know anything and I need to hear. And this is a very illuminating question. Therefore, when Parikshit Maharaj asks this question, what does Sukadeva Goswami says? He says, very good questions. Like when Shaunakadi Rishi asked this question to Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami also said, Munayo Sadhu Prashtam Bhavadvir Loka Mangala Yat Krita Krishna Samprasno Enatma Suprasit. He says, my dear Shaunakadi Rishi, your questions are very relevant. They're very meaningful. They're very auspicious. And such kind of question itself create beautiful conversation. In fact, the entire Bhagavatam, like in the 7th canto, again we see, after synopsis, Sukadeva Goswami gave the synopsis in the 6th canto to Parikshit Maharaj about killing of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And this raised question in Parikshit Maharaj's heart. He said, how can Krishna, how can the Supreme Lord be partial to the demigods? How is it that he is partial to the demigods? He should be impartial. If he is partial to the demigod, that shows that he is part of the creation. No, he is getting affected by, you know, friendly people and unfriendly people. He said, this is giving a great doubt in my heart. Please answer. And what does Sukadeva Goswami do? He glorifies Parikshit Maharaj. And then he said, you are asking this question, that, you know, how God is partial, that's a doubt. But your grandfather asked this question when Krishna killed Shishupal. Shishupal was killed by Krishna when he was, you know, offending the Supreme Personality of God. And what was Yudhishthira Maharaj's question? He said, hey, this Shishupal was so obnoxious. From his very birth, he did not come crying. He came offending Krishna, blaspheming Krishna. Just imagine what kind of child he must have been. He is born offending the Supreme Personality of God. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, but this Shishupal, he should have had a white leprosy for speaking this. But this rascal Shishupal was stout and strong after doing all that offenses. And not only he was stout and strong, he is blaspheming Krishna. And after blaspheming Krishna, you know, Shishupal achieved liberation. He asked this question to Narad Muni, how this is possible? So Sukadeva Goswami telling Parikshit Maharaj, you are asking how Krishna is partial, but your grandfather is asking how Krishna is so magnanimous. And that's how the entire narration of Bhagavatam 7th canto comes. Because a relevant question. Because Narad Muni narrated the pastime of, you know, Jay and Vijay. And when he heard Jay and Vijay, Yudhishthira Maharaj raised another question. He said, how can somebody, an eternal associate of the Lord, fall down to this material world? He said, this is very much confusing to me. That's the only question he raised. He did not go into all the technicalities. If you see Bhagavatam 7th canto, he asked that question, how is it possible to you know, somebody like them to come down to this material world. Narad Muni explained the whole story of four Kumaras, then Prahlada's birth, and how Hiranyakashipu was very envious of Prahlad. Again, Yudhishthira said, how is it possible for a father to be envious of such a wonderful son? He said, I'm shocked. And then he narrated the entire story. So Prahlada's question, a relevant question about Krishna being partial, is the, you know, is the cause of the description of the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, the beautiful story of Prahlad Maharaj. So similarly, the second canto apparently sounds very technical. Many times easier to read the first canto and the train stops at the second canto, because there is a lot of technicalities of material elements and then how creation takes place. It is like reading the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, very easy. No, because it's all Mahabharata only. No? And then second chapter when you come, the contents of the Gita summarize, you know, all the technicalities are there. Then the mind doesn't function only. Then again after some time one goes back to the first chapter. He said, wow, very good. So second canto is like that only. You know, a lot of technicalities are there. But that technicality is very important. Because Prabhupada explains in one place, that what is the difference between a Mayavadi and one who accepts Krishna as the Supreme Lord? A Mayavadi sees Maya everywhere. That means how much psychologically off that concept is. You know, we are always fearful. You don't want to develop any relationship with anybody. Maya, Maya everywhere. But one who is a devotee of Krishna, he sees Krishna everywhere. So Parikshit Maharaj is told by Shukadeva Goswami in the conclusion, after the first canto was over, in the second cantos, in the first and second chapter, he talks about how one should dedicate his life, you know, whatever remaining time is there. He gave the story of Khatvanga Maharaj. He could perfect Krishna consciousness within few seconds. You have 7 days to live, therefore give up all concept of material life. Give up all collection to matter. No. He talks about, in fact, merging all the elements also. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. He speaks that. And how one should be completely absorbed in Krishna, giving up all connection. After hearing all that, still Parikshit Maharaj is asking, if you study this whole second canto, first few chapters, what do they say? He said, I want to know everything about the time factor, about the elements, about the duties of a king. Everything he wants to know. So one may say, you know, what kind of student Parikshit is he? Does he understand what Shukadeva Goswami is saying? Why is he asking all these detailed questions? But because Parikshit Maharaj is trained to see Krishna in everything. Krishna everywhere. Krishna in all surrounding. Krishna in all situations. Again, it was not artificial, like some Upendra Prabhu asked this question to Prabhupada. How do we see Krishna everywhere? He said, is it that, you know, there is this Krishna form, and when I see here, and this Krishna form merges in this Krishna. He wanted to see Krishna everywhere. He said, no. He said, then he gave the example of his spectacle. His shoes. Prabhupada gave that example. He said, when you see the shoes and spectacle, what do? He said, you remember me, right? He said, yes. He said, similarly. Spectacles and shoes are not that you find a form there, but you find in the form of energy of Prabhupada. It's similarly like that. No, he doesn't artificially try to see Krishna everywhere. He understands that this is the energy of my Guru. This is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, for Parikshit Maharaj, governance was also Krishna. Material elements was also Krishna. Because he could see very clearly, this is all energy of Krishna. So when we separate Krishna from Krishna's energy, you know, that is imperfect. That means what we do? We make impotent Krishna. Oh, this is separate. Krishna is only in his deity form. Krishna is not in his energy. So therefore he raised this question, I want to know everything about time factor, about elements, how everything functions, how governance functions. Bhishmadeva also, you know, is lying on the deathbed. And Krishna brings Yudhishthira Maharaj to Bhishmadev. Very beautiful. Now Bhishmadev is lying on the deathbed, you know, almost final stage. And Krishna is telling the Pandavas, dress yourself gorgeously in Rajavesh. So the Lord did not think, if I make Pandavas dress gorgeously, Bhishma might become attached to their dress. You know, he might feel more attached to the Pandavas. But Krishna is very sensitive. He knew why Bhishma did everything what he did. All his life was to see, to put someone who is qualified on the throne of Hastinapur. That was a struggle. A good king, a devotee king. So just to make him feel, Krishna could have said, come on, forget everything else. It is an attachment. The Lord is very sensitive to the needs of his devotee also. And what was his need? To see that a good king sits on the throne. So Lord brought the Pandavas, gorgeously dressed. And he made Yudhishthira Maharaj ask all kinds of questions. At the time of death, asking these kind of questions, one may say, is an obstacle to the growth of Bhishma Dev. But he is speaking about these things, but he is not attached to these things. He is beyond that. Because the legacy has to continue. And therefore Bhishma Dev spoke so beautifully. And then Bhagavatam explains, a personality who spoke so many subject matter. Personality spoke so many wars, fought so many wars. What did he do? He withdrew. You know, his self from everything and then completely focused on the personality of Godhead. Just like the birds, when they return home in the evening, you know, there is a complete lull. There is a silence. It is natural for the birds. You know, only unnatural for the human beings, because human beings act unnaturally. If you actually go, we were in our farm recently, and one devotee friend said, you know, why not all the time in Bombay we sleep in the small cage only, rooms only. You know, why not sleep in the open? So we have a tree house. We went there in the evening. And what do you see? You know, a lot of trees are there, but you don't find any birds chirping. The cows, if you ask the cowherd men, they say, you know, there is an amazing discipline amongst the animals. They graze 3 hours in the morning, they graze 2 hours in the evening, at least our cows in Wada. They don't say, Arya, jada kha, and today I need to eat more. They said, no. And then there is a leader. When the leader moves towards the cow shed, all other animals, they start moving. And then recently one story happened. That some people from America, they came to our place. And our coward boy is a chartered accountant, Sri Nandanandan Prabhu. You know, a very hard working, very intelligent plus hard working. It's sometimes difficult. Intelligent people only work hard here. You know, physical work is not so much. But he's both. So this lady, when she saw, we have some dogs also, because in the field, in the house, in the farmhouse we can have dogs, not in the house. So then she said, hey, come on, you are not being very, you are very partial to the cows, you are not very nice to the dogs. He said, no, I am not like that, you know, I am being feeding them also. He said, no. You know, when she made a point, that, you know, what she says has to be accepted. She's an American lady. So he said, no, I'm feeding them. He said, no, you're not feeding. I'm going to get something for them. So she went to her room, got all the ingredients, nice biscuits from America. So he told the dog, don't eat anything. You know, he gave the instruction to the dogs. It was quite surprising. A devotee one who saw this, he was telling this story. He said, the dogs, and he went back to his room. So the dogs would not even smell. When I entered into Australia, the dogs were smelling my bag. But here, they would not even smell. Why? Because the order had come from someone whom they loved. There was a loyalty. The loyalty was not because, you know, the master is ordering, therefore. He said, no, because ultimately she is not my master. She may give me biscuit today and tomorrow she disappears. So they would not even smell. Then he said, sorry, I think you take good care of these dogs. Otherwise, how is that they are listening to you? So we see there is a complete discipline in the animal kingdom, which human beings unfortunately lack. And therefore, you know, this Parikshit Maharaj story, asking these questions, and then Narad Muni consequently asking question to Brahmaji, is so beautiful. And herein Lord Brahma is speaking about the greatness of Krishna, that Krishna is also living entity, but is a supreme living entity. Out of his causeless mercy, he is lying on the causal ocean, and he becomes Narayan, and continuously gives limitless mercy for the living entities. And as Prabhupada concludes in the purport, very beautiful conclusion, he explains that the living entities are therefore completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord, and all their so-called enjoyment by scientific improvement are crushed into dust when the Lord desires. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? You don't need to ask. You are all intelligent. Yeah, because unfortunately in the modern world, you know, modern education, if you want to grow, you have to put your profile nicely, right? I have done this. You know, if you want to grow, you have to boast about your expertise in the school, in the colleges, in the workplace also. Otherwise, you don't grow. But on the spiritual front, when you express, you degrade yourself. So that is a trouble. Our psychology now, being in the material world, especially in the modern world, in the modern education system, is that if you want to grow, you have to speak about your competency, your expertise. Otherwise, you don't grow. Somebody else will take over your position. So therefore, being in the world for longer time, and we live in a devotee world, you know, so there is a conflict, because devotee world is a totally different world. Now, what is the devotee's world? If somebody appreciates you, you have to close your ears. Like in the Mahabharata, there is a story of when Arjuna, at one point of time, for some reason he wanted to kill Yudhishthira Maharaj, because he had a vow. And Krishna said, what are you doing? He said, no, this is my vow. Krishna said, hell with your vow. You know, if that vow is going to make you separate from your brother, and you love your brother, he said, not. I said, what will I do with my wife? I said, there are many other ways to kill your brother. I said, what that way? Krishna said, condemn your brother. So that way you kill your superior. So Arjuna does it. After doing it, he feels so bad. He said, how could I do it? And Krishna said, you know, by speaking bad words, you are feeling so bad. What to speak of killing him? He said, I've done such a sinful activity. He said, what should I do? What is the repentance? Krishna said, self-glory. Self-glory is like committing suicide. When somebody boasts about his own glory, Krishna said, that is... Because Arjuna said, because of this sin, I want to kill myself. He said, yes, glorify yourself. That is killing. Therefore, a devotee world, you know, when we live in a material world, when you come to a devotee world, then that raises so many questions. The material world, again, the historical realities have to be factual. You know, everything has to be black and white. But in the spiritual world, you cannot say anything good or bad. You know, in the mundane world, when we see from a Krishna conscious perspective, nothing in this world is good or bad, depending upon its utility. Even qualities for that matter. Therefore, Bhishma explains to Yudhishthira, very beautiful. He says, nothing in this world is completely advantageous and nothing in this world is completely disadvantageous. Even advantageous things have their disadvantage. Like poison of a snake. It takes 30 seconds, a cobra poison. 30 seconds to 2 minutes, you are killed. But that very poison can save somebody else's life also. Nectar for that matter. Nectar for demigods gave long life, but Rahu Ketu, whatever lifespan they had, that also they lost. And they were killed instantly by Lord Vishnu because they took that nectar. If they had not taken, they could have lived maybe a few more days extra. But that very nectar caused their death. So therefore, when we come to Krishna consciousness, along with learning the philosophy, we have to learn the culture of Krishna consciousness. You know, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is like a container. And culture is like a container. If there is no right kind of container, you know, if a container is wet, then all that content doesn't make tangible sense. So therefore, when we understand, therefore whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is nothing but the culture of Krishna consciousness. Philosophy is there, but it talks about the culture. So when the culture is there, then it becomes meaningful. Therefore, humility, at our stage, now we have to be artificial, unfortunately. And anything which is artificiality is suffocating at the end of the day. You know, once you start becoming more and more substantially, you understand the philosophy, then you feel, array, this is not so good. But then what can be done? Our teachers, they have told us, you know, even if it is artificial, do it. But at least start somewhere. Somewhere you have to start. But you should know that what they are doing is also, appreciation is there. It is not that appreciation is not there. But we should not take it seriously. Because how can we say that, you know, actually I did good cooking. You know, whom are we comparing? Cooking is only done by Srimati Radharani for Krishna. How can it be good? Like Jananya's Prabhu says, you know, what does cooking happen when you cook for something to the Lord? That goes, you know, it is filtered by your guru. Then it goes to his guru. Then it goes to his guru. Eventually it goes to Radharani. So all the contamination she takes. So ultimately whatever cooking you do, it cannot go straight into the altar. You know, it has to pass through the whole system and ultimately she is the head of the kitchen. If it is not offerable, you know, she rejects it. Or if there is some contamination are there, she takes it out. Ultimately, she is the one who gets credit for cooking. So this understanding, again, has to be natural. As much as Krishna consciousness is natural, that much it is sustainable. As much as Krishna consciousness is artificial, it is not sustainable. No. So we have to worry about making Krishna consciousness more and more natural. And Krishna consciousness is natural. That is a good thing. Now, therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, when he asked this question to Sukadeva Goswami, how is that discovered men and women are loving Krishna more than own children? And Sukadeva Goswami said, that is natural. Because just like for the living entity, you know, his own self is more dear. So similarly, Krishna is the very self of the living entity as Paramatma. So therefore, it is natural for Brajavasis. Because Brajavasis were in their natural position, therefore it was natural for them to love Krishna in a very natural way. Now, there is no artificiality. So therefore, whenever the demigods come, they did not feel array, these demigods are going to take away our loyalty to Krishna. They would put all, you know, their heads on their feet. Because the Brajavasis, they were great devotees, but not wanting to have a great position because of their devotional service. We see in this world, if I become a senior devotee, a senior devotee has nothing to do with efficiency. No, I do not, I can't accept, okay, because I'm a senior devotee, therefore I need to get better facilities. The gopis of Vrindavan, they always felt we are coward men and women. We are ordinary devotees of Krishna. We are from ordinary village. So when they vow to go to demigod temples, they bow down, oh, they are very superior people. They got a greater position. So there was no inhibition in offering obeisances to them. Because that would not disturb their loyalty to Krishna. Love for Krishna was a completely different story only. And then, you know, the social respect was another story only. That was also very natural for them to be respectful to the social structure. But that social structure would not disturb their love for Krishna. No? So therefore, when we follow in the footsteps of the gopis or the Brajavasis, what does it mean again? Again, being a very natural. And we understand what is artificial and what is natural. Nobody has to tell. If we are connected to our natural state, you know, as much as possible, then we understand, you know, how much my bhakti. Somebody said, in the privacy of one's heart, nobody can respect himself. In the privacy, when you reflect, we see, you know, so much nonsense is there. So how can I respect myself? Not possible. It is impossible to respect oneself. That has to be a madman only, you know, to give credit to himself, you know, I am something special. How can somebody say I am something special? As Prabhupada says, when we say we are special, you know, that is the Maya intoxicated stage. Therefore, the Pandavas, the beauty of the Pandavas, you know, having such a greatness. If you read the prayers of Arjuna in the first canto, you know, what does he do? Gives all credit to Krishna, where Krishna was not directly involved also. In the Varanavata incident, they had not met Krishna. In one sense, if you see from a historical perspective, you know, they were not connected. No, no, they're not sending email, "Hi Lord, how are you doing?" No. They had not seen only. They didn't know. In fact, Krishna heard the news. If you read in the Bhagavatam, that the Pandavas are burnt to ashes. So they didn't know. But saving in the Varanavata incident, they give credit to Krishna. So whatever Arjuna achieved in the heavenly planets, he gives all credit to Krishna. Very naturally, while crying to Yudhishthira Maharaj that, you know, I'm missing my very dear friend, the Supreme Lord. So there is a... But again, their humility does not make them less competent. No. Sometimes humility, if it is artificial, we feel, I can't do anything in this world. Therefore, people say, don't become so humble, otherwise you'll become less competent. If you think you are less, then you will become less only. So Pandavas had this combination of great enterprising ability, at the same time they could act completely helpless. Very contradictory, but that's how a spiritual life works. Therefore Krishna explains, "Tasma sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yuddhache." My dear Arjuna, you know, you constantly remember me and at the same time fight. Fighting requires enterprising skills. Fighting requires confidence. Fighting requires movement, and helplessness requires inaction. But so there is limitless action, but in consciousness there is a complete helplessness. Therefore, one brahmachari friend was saying, one should serve Krishna as if he is the doer, and one should think as if I am non-doer. He said, in this combination one can practice the verse, "Tasma sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yuddhache." Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.